if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 333. 333 of BRB UK. It's the 333. It's a fun number because it's the same if you read it backwards and if you read it forwards. That's how much fun my day has been, ladies and gentlemen. I am Dan. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Coleman.
Hi! Use, reuse, recycle times three.
And Tim.
Hello.
Good.
We got three lots of the magic number. That's a magic number each.
That's what I was getting at.
Why is that a magic? Why is three? Well, three is the magic number, but does anyone know why three is indeed the magic number?
Because that's what song says, Dan.
Use, reuse, recycle. You got to use, reuse, recycle.
Songs say a lot of stuff, Tim.
I think that's how the song goes.
Yeah, but if it's musical, it's true. That's how it goes.
No. No, it's really not.
Wait, let's put this theory to the test.
Yeah.
Tim is a bellend that smashed his knee with a front door.
No, actually, you've got an excellent point. That's the next point. Tim, I hear that you managed to open your front door into yourself.
Into my own knee.
In an injury that can only rival my fall on the ice.
Literally bruised instantly.
How?
We're bad knee buddies.
How have you survived so many years?
When I've already got two bad knees, making one of those knees worse.
My third one's not any good now.
Is a bad
idea.
I've
only got two.
Might have double knees.
Threes isn't the magic numbers for knees. Three knees is not a magic knee number.
Left or right?
Left or right for the third one?
For your injured knee?
Yeah.
For my more...
No.
More
left
injured
right.
knee. Because they were already
okay,
injured.
Right. The left is the one when you do the finger and the thumb, it looks like an L.
Right.
Is it that one or is it the other
one?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it. I was trying to work out if we're buggered knee buddies.
It's the right one.
Wow, that is a really depressing. We're rapidly limping
right
towards middle age.
Oh, no,
fun
right.
fact.
Yes, it is the right knee. I can exclusively confirm that myself and Tim have knackered the same knee.
Good. That is some top quality podcasting right there.
My knee's fine now. My ankle's still bad.
Mine looks more painful than it feels.
Mm.
It may be just because my knees feel painful as a baseline anyway, so it's an unnoticeable amount of extra pain.
Dan?
Yes?
Do you do home visits?
Yeah. How are you on knees?
We're falling apart to bits. And
right,
ankles.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll have to get a referral from your GP, mate.
Also, I believe we'll be sponsored by cod liver oil tablets quite soon.
Wow.
Prune juice.
Jesus
prune
Christ. Juice. Welcome to BRB UK Nursing Home Edition.
BRB OAP.
This week, we're going to talk about how many pints of dribble Coleman's got into his own beard.
OAP UK.
Tim.
I like it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So new branding.
Tim's reviewed the latest release of Werther's Originals.
And Dan's testing out this year's Zimmer frame.
And I'm wondering why it's always Wednesday.
And I'm looking out the front window and I don't like the look of them kids.
Do you know what? Actually, so talking about three being the magic number, if you round down the true magic number, which is pi.
Yeah.
Okay, it's pi. It's been pi week this week.
Yep.
And
no, that was yesterday.
It was pi day at work today. And they missed a trick. The cost of the pie was not £3.14.
Aww.
This upsets me.
National Pie Day was on Wednesday, Dan.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yesterday. Screw it.
It was straight after Pancake Day.
Yeah, isn't it?
You have your pancakes and you have your pies.
That does seem the wrong
Everyone
way around.
Everyone knows that.
No
and pies during Black History Month, you
no
know?
No pies before pancakes, yeah. Is that how it goes?
Well, I'm learning. I'm reading up all kinds of fun facts about three. The number three.
Not pies.
No.
Or pancakes.
Or the number pie.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you notice the number of non-collinear points needed to determine a plane and a circle?
Seven.
No, he wasn't asking for an answer.
Three is the ASCII code for end of text.
Seven.
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember last week? And other weeks before that,
yes.
where we used to talk about video games.
I remember them very well.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you know that prior to Ragnarok, there will be three hard winters without an intervening summer?
Oh.
That's called the Fimble Winter, which is my new favourite word.
Fimble Winter.
Fimble Winter.
Should we do the that thing we do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Xbox One, this is another magic number. The Xbox One is actually the third Xbox iteration, three being the magic number. And this is the third iteration of the Xbox One's hardware, potentially.
Well, Scorpio is. But then there was a rumour that could...
We already had three.
Right, newsflash, three no longer the magic number, four is. That's I want to make this link work. So four is now the magic number.
And that's all thanks to Windows Central.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they've got the name of the long-rumoured Xbox One diskless system.
Oh, exciting.
Which will be, apparently, according to them, an Xbox One S without a disk drive, which may arrive this spring and is called the Xbox One S All Digital Edition.
Ooh.
Just flows off the tongue.
Yeah.
But doesn't that have like a cool code name?
No, basically, they've chosen a name for this that literally says exactly what it does on the tin, so they don't have to market it, and so they don't have to waste a good name on a reiteration of a box that is generally not doing that well anyway.
Yeah. Now, I still can't quite work out the reason for the disc full rather than discless Xbox One S, I have to say.
Well, I mean, if you're just going to be playing Game Pass, then you don't need a disc drive, really.
Oh, indeed you don't.
No.
Indeed you don't, which is why I think this will fly off the shelf, especially if they...
If other rumours are true, then you might not need an Xbox either to get
Game
Pass.
Well, this is true. Xbox Game Pass potentially coming to anything with a screen and more than two buttons.
Mm.
But, you know, I think it's a really sensible move. I'd be interested to see how aggressively they price this. If it comes in at around the £150 mark, it's going to fly off the shelves.
Here's the thing. I would be tempted into this if I didn't go out and pick up a second-hand Xbox for £60.
Well,
anything over £60 now is a rip-off.
But the figure that I've heard floated from a couple of American sources, and I don't necessarily know if it was... with any kind of substance to back it up. As in just, you know, speculative kind of guesses on it. Well, they were talking about $99. I think Giant Bomb were one of those sources and somewhere else. But I think that sounds like too low a figure to hit, don't you? I don't know.
Well, it depends if they're willing to sell it as a loss leader. Because if there's no disc drive, the only way you can be playing content is to buy it directly off Microsoft. So their share in that revenue of the games is going to go up. So they may be willing to take the hit up front.
But say they did the thing of just if they did do $99 in the States and wanted to do something similar here and made it £99, which I think is the...
It's got $99 and an Xbox One.
That's good. That's good. If it was $99 in the States and they do a similar thing over here and try and market it as £99...
Brexit coming up, mate, that's never happening.
Then that's probably the best we could hope for. But say they go that
aggressive. No, the best we can hope for is about £4,000.
Right, that's the import charge.
But just say they did, because in the States, that's, you know, it's obviously $99 is less than £99 or... Anyway. Whatever, yeah. Say it's £99. That's getting to the point.
Do you just give yourself brain cramp?
Well, no, but that's just getting to the point where if you needed to buy a new pad for your Xbox, you almost might as well buy one of those and get a pad with it and have an extra console and have that as a second console in your bedroom.
God, I didn't even think of that.
You know, for that price,
I mean,
it's
that's
only
some
like,
hardcore Tim maths going on right there. But
it's what £30-40 difference kind of thing. I mean, like, yeah, it's not that much extra.
Other rumours include that there may be a new Xbox One Fortnite edition style console, but this would be, whereas all the, so you may notice with all the PlayStation models for different themes around Spider-Man or Destiny, they're like nice looking consoles with new paint jobs on them and stuff, or features in the lighting or what have you. In the Xbox, they tend to be, here's a box, here's a colour, and the games in there also. The Minecraft one is the only one they seem to have done any kind of theming on. This Fortnite one could be like the next themed console. And
do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they launched this discless Xbox One with Fortnite preloaded on it.
Maybe.
Yep.
And that's what they're going to be getting. And that would be the launch, the way they get it out the door. Because that would, you'd get a lot of parents going, oh, little Johnny likes shooting people in the face and teabagging them. Good. You might like this Xbox One with Fortnite on it.
Fortnite.
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 Is that how old people say? Is that how boomers say Fortnite?
Fortnite. Yep.
Nice.
Fortnite.
They're talking about a Fortnite console that's packed with whatever the microtransaction is for Fortnite, which makes sense because Fortnite is free to play. I don't know if you noticed that.
So apparently in super fun facts about how eagle-eyed the internet is, we all missed a complete giveaway about Apex Legend about a year ago.
How so?
Well, a Reddit user 11 months ago called Hit Iconic, apparently, he posted a thread called Alleged Minimap for Rumoured Titanfall Battle Royale Game. And I think the average response was, shut up. I'll give you some of the choice ones. So 11 months ago, got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 or 8 replies, including, I doubt it, it's not real, couldn't care less, fake.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, a year ago, we were making up every kind of Battle Royale game under the sun, probably including mm-hmm. Tetris, which happened. You got about 14 comments and 11 upvotes. And since then, that topic's been reshared by a different user and has now got thousands of upvotes and comments and stuff. Hit Iconic then came back and said, I'll take my upvotes now, guys, if you could. Okay.
It's even got the weird bloody dinosaurs on it who I keep trying to land on in Apex Legends. I want to land on a dinosaur.
Still playing that?
I'm very bad at it, although I have been champion twice.
Ooh.
Tim?
I still need to go back to it. I've just been busy with review stuff last couple of weeks.
And got it installed.
A bit busy this week. Yeah, I liked what the little just tutorial bit I played, and then you fell asleep and we didn't play, and then I haven't gone back to it since. But
you make it sound like I fell asleep playing the game.
It's one of those things where the more time I leave it, though, the more difficult I feel it is to jump in into, no? Like,
yeah, everyone is very good at it now.
Yeah, that's my problem.
And there's that battle pass incoming.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. It's going to be a thing. Although, if you're on Twitch Prime, you did get a bunch of stuff.
Oh.
You got a bunch
of
stuff
with Twitch. Is that on the PC version?
I think it's in all versions. You just need to link your EA account. You've got a Twitch Prime membership. You get, I think it's a skin for Lifeline, best character ever. Not Lifeline, sorry. What's his name?
Jeff Bridges.
Yes, Jeff Bridges. Get a skin for Jeff Bridges and a new beard. that robot dude.
Jeff Bridges.
Why can't I remember his name?
Bender.
Yes, him. Generic robot person. God, they're all the same to you, aren't they, Tim?
Johnny Five.
Yep.
Yes, all of him. All of the robots get all the skins, and you get 5 Apex packs, which contain misery and disappointment.
I thought it'd be funny in the world of leaks that someone did actually leak Apex Legends a year ago and nobody noticed.
Well, we did think it was funny that no one had heard about it.
No.
And obviously, other than that little map leaking out, they did seem to keep it pretty much under wraps, basically.
Absolutely bang on, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, totally bang on.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, real thing. Real thing. And it was posted in the Titanfall subreddit. So, yeah.
Certain them fan subreddits, they tend to be a bit rabid.
And they only got 31% upvotes at the time.
You think anything mildly related in a sequel would suddenly get upvoted the hell out of and shared everywhere?
Nope.
I mean, look what happens if you get a video posted on the Ace Combat subreddit.
Yeah, Tim.
Your views go through the roof.
Everyone calls you a belly. Outrage on the internet does generate views. Okay, so in the same way that despite being told awesome things were going to happen, the internet was upset, Nintendo have managed to upset smartphone partners who are very, very, very happy to have Nintendo on them. But now Nintendo are wanting to do things in a Nintendo-like way, and in a way that I think is frankly just bloody decent and right. So apparently Nintendo are causing a kerfuffle with their smartphone development partners, basically for being decent human beings.
Yes.
So Nintendo doesn't want to be seen as greedy and actively tells its partners, such as DNA, CyberAgent, all that kind of lot, to adjust the games in a way so that players don't spend too much money.
That's very admirable considering well, all right, most of their games are free to play, but when you've got Mario Run's quite an expensive game in itself that has microtransactions within it. Yeah, maybe that. And if you're the family-friendly company of Nintendo, you don't want to tarnish that by being the ugly loot box microtransaction-y company as well.
I'd also say the time that they probably made these deals with smartphone people, they were a bit less confident in the future of their own portable hardware. And I think they're a bit more confident now than they were, and probably strengthens their position to allow them to do that a little bit. But it's, I'm not, that's, you know, a slight cynical view on it, but generally Nintendo have always looked to kind of lead from the front in terms of, even amongst other consoles, in terms of not being too greedy on the DLC side and pricing things reasonably for the content and giving you a large amount of content if you're paying a larger amount of money, type of thing.
Plus, at this point, what's the player base on those games? I mean, the Animal Crossing one died off really quickly, if I remember correctly. I forgot what was before that. The
Animal
Warriors.
Crossing, more like Animal Run Over, am I right?
something Warriors, that was...
The Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, thing. That was it. That was up
okay,
for a hot minute.
But I dropped that fairly quickly.
Miitomo, it doesn't exist anymore.
No. Yeah. I like Miitomo.
It was fun for a minute.
But I still see plenty of people playing Pokemon Go. No?
I was playing it today.
Yeah, see, that still seems popular.
Yeah.
My favourite thing is seeing people with like 5 smartphones strapped to their arm trying to catch Pokemon.
Where are
Love
you?
It.
Where do you
Uxbridge.
See this?
I saw that in Uxbridge, mate.
Fair enough.
Uxbridge.
Okay.
That's in London.
No, I still
That's
Pokemon
That's in civilization,
Go.
Son.
It's a good way of gamifying exercise. So,
yeah, I suppose so. But yeah, so apparently this has confused people who like to invest money in companies like Nintendo. And the reason they gave was that in Nintendo's eyes, all these smartphone apps are just advertising rather than a true opportunity to monetize the experience on mobiles. Nintendo's causing the ruckus.
That makes sense. They released their Fire Emblem Warriors game pretty soon after that. They announced a bunch of new Fire Emblem Warriors games, And I keep saying Warriors. Look, that's the Dynasty
Warriors
one, isn't it? Yeah,
Warriors.
Then Animal Crossing came out, and there's an Animal Crossing game on the way for the Switch. So yeah, it makes sense. They're advertising in that way that Nintendo can. Use their beloved properties, release them free to play, and then go, now give us £60.
Here's a better version.
65 if we're feeling really cheeky.
But it also, like, lining up with them in this way and then dictating these sorts of terms does give Nintendo the ability to make headlines for doing exactly that. Like, they're not exactly presumably doing it that quietly, kind of thing, as we're hearing about it in this way. So that's something that I think does a good job, and I'm not saying it's unwelcome or unwarranted or unneeded, because it is needed and warranted and you know, a genuine thing to do, but holding someone's feet to the fire a bit in the kind of, this is why traditional gaming is a more honest interaction with your audience than some of the mobile models, and some of the mobile models that have moved into being more pervasive in the rest of gaming, less so in the Nintendo environment, you'd possibly say. So,
and they picked a perfect time to do this as well. Yeah. I mean, 2 weeks ago we were talking about Activision layoffs, a week ago we were talking about EA layoffs, and now we're talking about, oh, Nintendo did something nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or nice by modern-day gaming standards.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. They like to release games that are vaguely finished, and they don't try and rinse everyone for money. Good guy, Nintendo. Yeah.
A lot of their general business practices, I don't know how much of this is just an extension of a more Japanese-influenced business practice kind of thing, but they do seem to genuinely have more respect for their employees as part of the business, and, you know, that kind of triangle of employees, company, and customer. Like, and making sure that, you know, if you take the mickey too much with your customer, then, you know, it disrupts that whole triangle. But they seem generally more respectful of that triangle than Western businesses, like, which are solely focused on getting more money next year. That's it.
Like, mo money.
And that is a non-sustainable position.
That's what I say. Mo money, 800 employees lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Mo money. Yeah. Yep. So, good guy, Nintendo. Well done, you, Nintendo.
Strange headlines this week.
It is strange headlines.
It's a slow news week, some may say.
I'm really upset about going back to the Xbox One thing, right?
Okay.
We had the code name for it, which was Maverick.
Maverick.
And all I was going to say, if with the lack of a drive, there's got to be a goose and a jet joke in there somewhere, right? Because Top Gun.
I'm aware
goose,
of it.
We got ejected.
We were there with you, Dan.
This is called Maverick.
We're all there with you.
It has no disc drive. You can't eject anything. Therefore, it is a clear tribute to the sanctity of Mav's co-pilot Goose in the hit 80s film Top Gun.
You're saying this should be the Xbox One Goose? Is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. It shouldn't be the Goose because Goose ejected. And in honour his memory, he now has removed the ability to eject from the Xbox, says Maverick, by removing the... Look, it amused me in my head for a minute, all right? Leave me alone.
You remember about a month or two ago the...
When I started that story?
Yeah,
yes.
When you started... Cool story, bro. When the Xbox network went down and you couldn't access anything on the Xbox, like, it would load up and then it wouldn't display your menu, it wouldn't display your games, like, absolutely anything at all. Don't know why we didn't cover... Oh, because it lasted about 20 minutes. But, like, when that happened, if that happened on the Maverick, you could then start, like, you could cradle your Xbox going, talk to me, Goose. Talk to me.
Okay. That was a long wind up.
That was my attempt at the goose joke.
Okay.
Right, what's your one then, Tim?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool story, guys.
Cool story.
We did good interneting today. Well done.
Cool story, Iceman.
Yeah.
You think after 303 episodes of this magic.
Ice to we'd be see you.
Somewhat good at this.
Wrong, Iceman.
It'll do.
Tonight on my network, a freeze.
We're such dickheads. Anyway, there's more stuff to talk about. There's points of interest.
Points of
interest.
Interest!
Yeah. Tim.
Yes.
Much excitement. You're going to be able to gaffer tape a switch to your face and enjoy some VR.
Right, this was when there was rumours that Nintendo were getting to VR. I was like, yeah.
There was a patent.
I think I know where they're VRing, and it's not exactly VR, but okay. Well done, Nintendo.
There was a patent leaked pre-launch, and it basically looked like the Samsung Gear, but bigger for the much larger Nintendo and heavier Nintendo Switch to be strapped to your face.
Yeah.
And yeah, instantly I thought, Virtual Boy, that looks painful.
Well, I mean, what's really bizarre is that if you have a look at the kind of the Nintendo Labo stuff, there's like a number of kind of cutouts that's coming presumably to enable the VR mode, where it's literally they are having to jam it on their face. There's like two handles either side. It's like sticking your head in a bucket.
Yeah. So for those that are uneducated on the subject, the Nintendo Labo is a set of different flat pack cardboard sheets that you pop out, you follow an instructional video, you make a little creation, you slot your Switch screen in there, you slot your Joy-Cons in different areas, and you make these lovely little creations, if that's a fishing game or a driving game. And they've been following this up with different support for other games as well. I believe the motorcycle controls you can use in Mario Kart now. And today they announced, hey, we're doing VR. We're basically ripping off Google Cardboard, but we're not just doing a headset, unless you buy the starter pack. We're doing like eight different versions, and one looks like a gun, and one looks like an elephant trunk, and all these different things. One looks like a periscope.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And this is going to be a selection of games that can be used inside and outside of VR.
Okay.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I want, because didn't the Labo have a programming element to it as well? Like on a very simple level.
It had a building element to it. I don't think it had a programming element to it. I'm not sure.
I thought it did.
I didn't get to mess around one in the
end.
Yeah,
I didn't really get to. Yeah,
I don't know
so either, but I thought it did, and it'd be interesting they do anything in VR with that as well, possibly. But yeah, because we've got YouTube on there as well, no?
We have.
So I wonder if they'll enable...
you to stick a piece of cardboard to your face and watch YouTube.
Well, no, because YouTube has a like 3D video and...
Yeah, they never display thing. Right.
They're not great, but some of the 360 video stuff could work all right.
Yeah, so this the first kit, there'll be a starter kit for $40. They haven't announced any other prices yet. I think the second kit that is the eight different things is going to be like $80 or $100, but $40 gets you the bog standard headset type thing. But yeah, it is pretty much Google Cardboard, but a little bit more elaborate and bigger because you have to stick a Nintendo Switch.
Also, more cardboard.
Yeah. More cardboard.
If that's sort of 40 quid over here, I may pick one up just to report on it for the show type thing.
Well, there's someone who was hacking away in some Switch firmware.
Yeah.
Apparently did manage to activate a VR mode.
Oh, okay.
Where it split the screen in half.
Split screen and then, yeah. At the same time.
Obviously, the resolution ain't going to be great, and I've got no idea what the refresh rate on the Switch panel is. So,
God knows
what the VR experience is going to be like. But if they're doing the same kind of thing as Google Cardboard, it is like a bit of a stick your face in and go, oh, that's cool, isn't it? Oh, well, what's next thing? Ooh, what's for dinner?
Works for phones, it'll work for a Switch. It would just be a bit heavier. Which is why I see there's no strap or anything to it, is, as you said, you've got to hold it to your face, because I can imagine people breaking their Switches all over the place. But a couple of friends of mine, they actually bought Labo kits and they were messing around and they were saying they were fun to play with, and I never got around to going around and drunkenly trying to assemble a Nintendo house or whatever that weird play kit was. But I was looking today, the Switch, like, if you've got a kid especially, and you're not just looking for drunken fun with cardboard sheets.
If you're not a man child, yeah. Like me and like us,
like all of us.
OAP childs, some would say.
Yeah.
Those kits are pretty decent by the looks of them, and they're super cheap now, the original lot as well. I think you can, because those original packs were coming out about 60 quid, and now I think they're like 25 if you look around at the right places, possibly cheaper. But yeah, Nintendo Labo. VR comes to the Nintendo Switch, kind of.
It's Nintendo Labo, not Labo.
Not Labo, we've had this discussion.
Not Labo.
Yeah, too many times.
I find that very funny.
Also not Labo, but you know.
Also on the Switch type of things, there is the online Nintendo Switch Online. As you know, there is a little arcade section.
I have a question.
Where they update with Nintendo Entertainment System games? Yes, Dan.
What is the SNES on it yet?
Not yet.
Well, shush then. But I'm not interested till it is.
They've added two new games. They've
back got in your hole.
They've got the original Kid Icarus, if you want to see how that game fares to the not very good 3DS version. And Star Tropics, which I've never heard of before today.
It's like, they're like a new version of Opal Fruit.
And then they'll change the name in like 10 years just to keep
exactly.
it in line. Yeah.
They'll change it to Marathon or something, I don't know. Yeah.
And lastly, on the points of interest, we've got a launch date for Judgment. If you don't know what Judgment is, that's the kind of the mixture of Yakuza and Phoenix Wright by the team that made them Yakuza games. It's based in the same world as Yakuza, in the same fictional version of Tokyo, but you play a lawyer who knows Kung Fu.
Objection.
So that is going to release on the PlayStation 4 on the 25th of June.
I'm interested in that game.
I was listening to Joe Screbbles, IGN Joe Screbbles, talking about this game, because he went off to Japan to go play it and stuff. And he said he felt really bad when they announced it, because he basically described it as Yakuza meets Phoenix Wright, and thought that's a bit of a lazy mixture to what the game will probably be. And then played it and went, no, it is literally Yakuza meets Phoenix Wright. And I'm not a fan of Phoenix Wright, so...
Really?
I don't know if it's for me.
It's always something that I thought I could like that. And I think I played a bit of one of them on the 3DS, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I played the iOS ports when they started releasing those. Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah, I might keep an eye on this one. I'm interested.
I still need to go back and play Yakuza games first.
That's also true.
Yes.
But this feels like I don't need to worry about at what point I'm jumping in on. This is the first one, so let's jump in on this one and see if it's all right, kind of thing.
Surely if you lose the court battle, you could just go kick the holy hell out of them afterwards.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Yeah,
I'd play that.
Yeah, innit?
Just keep hitting X until the courtroom's over and then go beat someone up. I like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So not so much Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright Dickhead. I didn't even try and make a joke out of that. I was just going to say the word dickhead.
Phoenix Wright Yob.
Daredevil.
Huh?
Phoenix Wright Daredevil.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But he was a good lawyer.
How good would a good Daredevil game be?
We almost had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
It got canned.
Ben Affleck?
There's after Ben Affleck, I think.
Post-Affleck.
Phoenix Wright, a scurvy asshole.
I'm thinking if there's anything better. Hold on. I'm also contemplating if we can use that as a title. Probably not.
A scurvy asshole. No.
That sounds, I mean, you're the doctor, but that sounds like you need your bum checking.
No, what arsehole is common parlance for the anus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Particularly, yeah, probably, but people talk about arsehole.
Ascurbic sounds
mean
a bit too scurvy for me, you know?
Ascurbic. Or some kind of corrosion going on.
I've got an ascurbic arsehole.
Sounds like something you use for
arsehole in Bay 3.
I've got a right old itch down there. Oh, looks like you've got an ascurbic arsehole. Take two of these and call me in the morning.
Flashbacks to when I used to work in A&E. I don't like it. Don't like it.
Hey, can we, before we do what we done played, can we take some huge dumps on some games that would deserve it?
Well, yeah, all right, go for it.
Cool.
Well, I have to say, I was planning on possibly picking up DOA 6 this week, and that being the game I talked about this week.
Then DOA 6, you mean Booby Simulator 6?
Look, that's always been the criticism, has always been my problem with it. They seem to be like trying to tone that down a little bit this year. Not really succeeding, I don't think, but at least communicating that we wanted to tone that down. And that was a temptation to get in. Also, it was looking quite decent. I like the look of the fighting from what I'd seen in preview. And yeah, I was like possibly going to go trade some stuff in to do that. I haven't done that for a while, so I got a few bits lying around. I was like, okay, I'll go pick that up. It means I can get it on the cheap. And then, yeah, they announced, well, there was rumors or talk came out from America that there were the first like DLC announcement pack thing was $93.
What?
Mamma mia.
And gave you two characters. And
what?
And a load of costumes.
Right.
That's basically it. So I don't know if there was other content other than that, but essentially that was the main bit of the content. Also, they did already pre-announce that they'll be selling other content that won't be part of that $93 pack.
Oh my actual God.
And that is not the first, it's not the only bit of content that might be of equal value to that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
I was put off by the last edition because that was the one that you could tally up all the DLC and it was over £100.
Yeah. Right.
And it was mostly costumes.
Right. But that was, if I'm correct, and I'm not sure I am, but I swear pre-release they were talking about doing the last one, which was called Last Round, I believe.
Yeah.
They initially did as a free-to-play model. Like, I think they bought out part of the game and you got some of the characters and then could buy more of them. And then there was a lot of DLC after that. But then they later launched a retail version that had, like, a more complete version of the game, basically.
Yeah, this was before they did the final round version of that game.
Yes,
it was
and
that
the final
game
round version
and a ridiculous
was,
amount yeah, of DLC. Yeah, and yes. I just looked at it all. I think I tallied it up on Steam and it was just jaw hit the floor type thing. It was a ridiculous yeah. amount of money for
yeah, so,
that content.
But then just hearing that, I was just like, you know what? I don't know. I'm not that desperate for a game. I probably haven't played enough Soul Calibur recently and I quite enjoy that game. And I was like, no, I don't want to support your business model. I made a similar decision with Street Fighter when they went that sort of way as well.
Yeah, you just played my version.
Yeah, well, and then played the hell out of that. But yeah, like it's something where I don't know why. Like the fighting game thing seems one of those genres that I enjoy and like, but I can live without if you start really taking the piss with the DLC, basically.
Well, yeah, and there's like 20 fighting games that get launched each year.
And yeah, then a ridiculous and I don't need all of them.
Yeah, you don't need all of them.
But I historically really like DOA, and I might pick it up somewhere down the line. But then has, I'll look to get one of the
DOA
later versions.
DOA just become awfully just derivative of itself, though. I mean, really, what more are they? What
See,
more does this bring to
happens,
the table in DOA 5?
It just, probably brings less characters. But
what's been happening the last couple of years? Whenever a DOA game is about to come out, they put out a big press release, and they go, "Hey, DOA is going to come out. We're getting rid of all the jiggle physics. We're getting rid of all the bikinis because America doesn't like it."
But
you still
for
have it on the European
pounds,
versions.
You can have all of those things back in your game.
And that's pretty much it. And I think I don't know if the pricing is exclusive to America, because what they do is they sell you all that content back.
Yeah.
So that seems to be the way they do it now. But I've never been on board with DOA. Like since DOA 1, I played that and went, this is inferior to other fighting games.
Myself and a lot of other people just really got into that and playing that one-on-one. It was just the kind of stone, paper, scissors thing and the environments. It was one of the first games that had, like, you know, the multi-stage environments when you could throw people in and danger zones.
I always found the only time I played DOA games is on system launches, because they tend to release them when a system launched. There wasn't many games.
Yes.
And you need a good fighting game.
Well, it was actually DOA 3, 4, I'm not sure, but on launch that it wasn't a launch game. It came out just after the launch on the 360, and it was a compulsory update to that game bricked my first 360.
Wow. So
wow.
But you love that game.
I still really like the game. Yeah.
Give me an update on pricing then on Steam. So the base version of Dead or Alive costs £50.
Yeah,
that just gets you the base game, but with a pre-order bonus, which is two costumes and an additional character. Then if you buy the digital deluxe edition, which gets you the bonus stuff, another character, 25 costumes, 26 costumes technically, and some digital stuff, that will cost you £63. And then if you want Season Pass 1,
yep,
which runs from March 2019 to June 2019, that'll cost you £74.
Yeah, and doesn't necessarily get you all the content that will be released in that time period. That's just stupid.
Personally, as well, I'm assuming they sell all these items piecemeal as well. If you want,
possibly,
to.
And it'll probably be more money to
That's
do it that way.
A big
way
problem
well.
With me as well. Like, this is a real problem that I took a long time getting over when they first started introducing DLC, because I'm very much completionist with my games. I need to unlock everything to say that game is complete. And since then, we're unlocking less stuff and we're buying more stuff.
Mm.
And when that first started happening, and I'd get my fighting game, they go, "Oh, here's a bunch of characters you buy at £5 a pop." And that meant I would buy my game and go, "Oh, but now all my character slots are empty." And then I would buy those characters because I wanted that nice complete feeling. And kind of the gambling thing,
yes,
you know, that hit.
But they know that about characters, and they know that's the one thing people want, and that's but for me, it's taken away a large part of the enjoyment of fighting games. Because for me, and I think we discussed this before, when was it Tekken?
Yeah.
But just having all the characters unlocked on the screen, I really don't like that, just because I like characters unlocking piece by piece and then playing through and having the reward of unlocking that character.
Yeah, to me, that is Tekken.
Oh, he's unlocked. Cool.
You,
we can play
with
him.
You get Tekken day one and then you go arcade mode. Right.
Yeah.
Beat with that character, and you unlock all your characters. Now, on Tekken, when Tekken 7 came out, they went, "Here are all the characters."
You're like, oh.
"We'll sell you some more later."
Yeah, it's like, oh.
And it's like, oh. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later. Right, now let's take a poop on Anthem.
This game is broken.
Hey, Dan, I almost picked that up for the PS4 this week until I heard some news.
Yeah,
good. Well, unless you want to turn your PS4 into a doorstop.
It's not actually bricking systems.
No,
it's not actually
bricking them. It's just really kind of hard crashing them, and you essentially need to reinitialize the system. Where do I even start?
Start with a bit where it crashes your PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Without warning.
So Anthem, it's the latest patch started just hard locking PS4s. Now, it's a crash, it's not a brick.
From what I've heard, that's not even necessarily the case. What it's doing is it's simulating the fact that you've had the power cord pulled out the back.
Yeah.
So that can have the effect of possibly bricking your console if you really didn't like it at the time, or it could have the effect of just having to reset your console.
Like you take it, like, completely powers down without warning, not a blue screen, nothing like that, just powers down, you switch it on, and it goes, next time, make sure you don't switch it. And if you've got an external hard drive plugged in as well, that's quite easy to corrupt your data, but you have to rebuild the blimmin' external hard drive as well. So.
Right, so that's a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Yeah. So, God knows how that got past QA, but what else has there been on this week on... This week on Anthem! Okay. Super fun fact. Turns out that the damage numbers that you get when you shoot enemies in the face don't mean anything.
That sounds a bit Destiny 2.
No. So what happened was, right, someone's like, I'm bored because frankly there's nothing else to do in Anthem. Right, I'm a bit bored. I'm going to start using the level 1 gun in all of the endgame content, just for a laugh, see what happens, bit of a challenge. So it turns out, like, one of, like, the legendary top-tier guns in the game, on, like, just kind of a normal enemy, takes 4 shots to kill it. The level 1 gun takes 3. So there's something very, very wrong with how damage is scaling in
that
game.
Do you think the guns are scaling with the levels, or...?
No one can quite work it out at all. It's also, there's people getting completely confused about what the hell all of the, like, inscriptions, which are the bonuses on equipment, means, because actually that is not explained anywhere either. There's people finding that, you know, bonuses to luck don't do anything either, so you just get low-tier loot in high-tier games. What else is... Oh, yes, people still getting locked behind invisible walls when a random member of the internet runs off into the distance.
So someone, Leroy Jenkins, you just get stuck in a room
locks everyone
own,
else out and it doesn't pull them forward. What else is there?
What was it they were talking about on Giant Bomb? Was it the one of them was fighting a boss and then his computer reset, the PS4 reset... And then he came back in and he was like, oh, quick, rejoin session. And he came back into the session and the boss was gone. And then all the players started spawning back into this empty room with no boss and they couldn't complete the level.
Yep, sounds about right.
That sounds like Anthem.
Other fun stuff includes you still can't do anything while you're downed in a mission.
Good.
So the only way, if you've got a dickhead who's trolling you as the last person alive, like Coleman, who basically flies around, lands next to you, waves at you, then flies off again.
I've had people do that to me in the demo. That's not funny.
There's nothing that you can do apart from quit the game, i.e. Alt F4 on a PC, or going to the dashboard on an Xbox and PS4 and telling it to quit.
I really want this game to be good, and I haven't even bought it.
I really want Anthem to be great, but... I mean, with...
Make Anthem great to begin with.
With you know, there's been a recent expansion to Destiny, which I'll get onto in a minute, but Division 2's literally just round the corner.
Yeah, I don't think they've got
enough time.
And
Division 2 looks like it's doing... If what the devs are burbling about... Looks like it's doing a lot of stuff right, and it had a very strong showing with its betas. You know, I am very much looking forward to Division 2, and I think, by the sounds of it, they've actually properly listened to what went wrong with the first game and are taking it pretty seriously.
Yeah,
so
some people quite excited about that, and someone that really knows about it talking about the and I hate the word, but the roadmap actually being like well fleshed out and well thought out and like having good end game content and seemed quite excited about that basically. So, and Paris Lilly of Gamertag Radio fame was the guy. He's seen it in preview recently and has been talking about it and talked about retweeted some stuff that he'd just seen on it, and he's properly excited for it, and he was really into the first one. So, but yeah, like as you say, I just don't think Anthem has, in an already crowded market that's about to get more crowded, I don't think they've got the time to have launched in this state and turn it around. I really hope they do. I want Anthem to be good. I really want to pick it up at some stage and enjoy it. It just, Like, as Colin said, like when I didn't get DOA this week, my instant thought was, maybe I'll revert, change my plan and go for Anthem. And then I was like, I want my PS4 to be working. Thanks.
Mine was literally, do you know what? Like, Destiny hasn't done it for me for a little while. And I've got a little, you know, it's a couple of weeks till Division yet. Maybe I could wet my whistle with some Anthem. Oh, breaking PS4.
Oh,
you say.
Oh.
That was the initial reaction, you know.
But that can't have helped them in the environment where, you know.
Anyway, that's your Anthem update. I'm sure we'll find something new to crap on it for next week. It's the Fallout 76 of this year.
Oh, I really hope it turns around, man. I really fear for BioWare if not, but because that's the other thing, they are advertising the holy hell out of that game at the moment.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
like, spending quite a bit of money promoting.
I want to upgrade my javelin and do paint colors and things on it and go out and fly and be Iron Man. But
I mean, it also seems that on the Anthem subreddit as well that mysteriously, you know, the very vocal BioWare devs all of a sudden went very very quiet, and EA community managers started appearing.
Oh no.
So I think BioWare is getting... I mean, the BioWare employees have reappeared again, but I think they're starting to get some serious heat from EA.
Working,
look,
yeah.
No time for internet for BioWare. They've got to get fixing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope
so anyway, some pleb behind the keyboard.
But on the theme of looter shooters, because everything seems to be a looter shooter at the moment, the latest installment of Destiny 2's annual pass has appeared.
Yeah.
Joker's Wild, starring that...
So, this is included in the second season pass.
So you've got... So Forsaken was the big refresh.
Right.
But you needed... So Forsaken was just the Forsaken expansion. It didn't include...
No. I'm talking about the second actual season pass, because I did get the second season pass.
Yes. So this is the second installment in this year's season pass.
So I have this.
If you have bought the annual pass for year two, yes.
Okay.
I love the fact that you've bought this and don't even know if you own it.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know what's what anymore. All right, you carry on. I'm going to install this.
So if you're like me,
games is great.
I find the Drifter the most annoying character ever.
I have no idea who he is.
Basically a smart ass.
Oh, is this the guy that we were talking about being the littlest hobo last week?
Yes.
Yeah, right. All right. That guy.
Yes, please.
No?
Keeps on coming.
So anyway, that's been released. If you like Gambit, you're in for some good times.
Oh.
If you don't like Gambit,
wasted DLC.
It's in the French X-Man.
No, as in the game mode Gambit. You can tell Tim gets
bored. Not really French.
No, he's not.
No.
He's from Louisiana, isn't he?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a new mode of Gambit. Which is all about they've got some cool ideas behind it. I just don't think it's particularly going down well or as well as it could do at the moment. So I like the idea of that they're encouraging everyone to play a role on their Gambit team. So
I have
like
a question, Dan.
Yes?
Considering this is the first piece of content since they split, I'm guessing they didn't have enough time to particularly put their own
absolutely.
Stamp on this.
This is,
yeah?
I mean,
this
they're
is
not
still,
out of that ecosystem.
Yeah, this is still
the
an Activision piece of content, essentially, basically. Yeah? Or an Activision.
Yeah, pretty much.
Overridden.
Well, they haven't really had the opportunity to kind of stretch your legs with it. I don't think you're going to see proper, full-on Bungie-only stuff for at least, until at least kind of whatever
until
comes
Destiny
out
3,
in September. Yeah, yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah. I mean, because all of the stuff that's in the pipeline to come out this year would have been under development for about a year or so already.
Yeah, I guess it's all just in...
Yeah. Yes. So, but anyway, the new Gambit mode called Gambit Prime, it's a one-round thing with completely changed-up mechanics that emphasises teamwork and playing a role. It seems a bit broken at the moment because the kind of health back to the... So basically, with Gambit Prime, it's you kill enemies until you get the boss to spawn by depositing motes in the big tubey thing in the middle. Then the boss spawns, but you've got to kill his henchmen first before you can start a damage phase. The damage phase only lasts 30 seconds, then his shields go back up, then more henchmen appear, blah, 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 wash, rinse, repeat. But the problem is the invading mechanic, which is quite a cool idea. So, like, one player from the other team can go and invade the other side, the other team's map when they're trying to kill the boss. Because of the way that heavy ammo is distributed. Quite often, the invaders have a lot of heavy ammo, and everyone else is trying to on the other side is trying to concentrate on either killing the boss or trying to get rid of his henchmen. And because of that, people tend to be quite bunched up, and it can very quickly go from, oh, we've nearly killed the boss, to it's back at full health again, and we can't do anything about it because we're not on the damage phase. So
Sounds fun. Can
feel a little bit frustrating. I mean, I think ultimately what people are going to say is, dang, just get good, mate, which is a fair comment.
I tend to say scrub.
But yeah, so, I mean, I think it could be all right. I mean, I think you're really not going to know until all like the there's four roles, one of which is to bank the moats. The other one gets a bonus for killing enemies. The other one gets a bonus for going in and invading. And the fourth one gets a bonus for killing the kind of enemy blockers to block where you deposit the moats. I think it could be quite cool.
I have
cool.
a question, Dan.
Yeah.
What is a more effective way of defending your castle? Moats.
Or banks. It was a rhetorical question, so not a real question to me. And then it was just a statement of fact.
I prefer
and
a
that
trebuchet.
Was a very good joke, Tim. Sorry, mate. Sorry, buddy.
That's okay. Tickled me in common.
I just like that he got halfway through that and went, I haven't got an ending to this joke.
Anyway, so there's that. There's Gambit Prime, and there's also another bit of stuff called The Reckoning, which is essentially, at the moment, they've only released one of the three tiers of it because Bungie. And the gameplay loop is you play Gambit, you get things to put in a thing, you then put that thing in the thing in Reckoning, that unlocks armor for you, you then go back to Gambit Prime, wash, rinse, repeat.
Does anything happen story-wise? There's some cool bits
of lore popping up, but again, that's not so far not in-game cutscenes. I mean, there's stuff you can read.
Yay!
You keep getting messages from a shady warlock type character, and they're trying to set up some quite cool things with the story about, you know, someone was trying to frame you, Roger as Rabbit. In the player Guardian, for the Death of Cade 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
he's dead, is he?
Apparently so. Spoilers. So it could have promise, but again, I mean, they very much said going into this annual pass that, you know, don't expect like expansion levels of content. It's going to be
when
a drip
you buy this
feed
expansion. Don't expect an expansion.
Yeah, exactly.
I should work in PR.
You should do, really. Anyway, that's it with Destiny. Before Tim gets bored again.
Before
the amount of hours of my life that I've had to spend listening to you trying to say something was thematically similar because of a jetpack, and then describing menus in excruciating detail.
Thematically similar because the themes were similar, Dan. Anyway,
they weren't.
Look, thematically similar to Destiny 2 Joker's Wild is Tekken 7.
Yes.
Because there's people in both of them.
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent point, Com. That is a very good use of a correct use of the term thematically similar.
I'm back on Tekken 7 because there are two new DLC characters this week. One being The Walking Dead's Negan, and the other one being Julia Chang, or just Julia as she's known now, from the long-standing Tekken character. Once again, we got the case of them selling us back a character that already existed in the previous series.
Thanks.
For £5. Thank you, Bandai Namco. But also, you've got Negan, who is the most expensive DLC character, who doesn't retail at £5. He retails at £6.49.
Oh, actually, £1.49 for the rights to have him, probably.
I'm guessing so. But quite interesting as well, because it updates the game to say, hey, Negan's available to buy now. It also changes the age rating. It makes it slightly higher. It's
now
teen for teen.
Oh,
because of Negan's inclusion. He swears.
Oh,
what a naughty guy.
Yeah.
So not the fact that he's got like a baseball bat covered in
barbed wire.
Barbed wire. That's fine.
Lucille could be the other reason.
It's the swearing.
First of all, Julia is Julia. If you like Julia, you're going to like Julia. There you go. Bang. Negan.
No, Chang.
Chang. Negan is a very interesting character. He's a slow one. He's got a very powerful attack because he uses a barbed wire wrapped in barbed wire baseball bat called Lucille. If you know Walking Dead at all, you know the character. And he does a lot of his moves seem to be based around being cocky. So he will put the bass, like, you can select to have him in a stance where he holds the bat behind his, over his shoulder, and so saunter over to the character before figuring out what move you're going to do next. There's a lot of bravado play with the character. And as well, he's quite slow, but he's quite powerful as well.
So you have to be quite deliberate with him, sort of thing.
He's quite annoying.
Ah. And annoying, I don't know, to fight against as well, then?
Yes, right. And with. And it's more just the character himself. So what they've done is they've taken the character Negan from the TV show The Walking Dead rather than from the comic books. So it is, I've completely forgotten it, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, based off Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I literally only know the character through cosplay.
He played Batman's dad in Batman v Superman.
Bat-Dad.
Bat-Dad.
Bat-Dad?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. The comedian.
The comedian at Watchmen. Right,
yeah. There you go. Yeah. Oh. There we go. Something we can all relate to.
Yeah, and a good superhero.
I like that one. So, yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character in all the advertisement stuff is literally being sound clips taken from the TV show. But in the game, it seems like they've just got a really bad impersonation to be him. And he only has about five phrases that he uses. So you'll often hear him go, oh my, and not much else. Oh, okay. Buddy, are you okay? Like things like
are
that.
Are you okay, Annie? No?
Buddy.
Buddy. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I do really like his finisher, though. The power, I forget what they call them now. The final strike or something like that.
It's a super movie type thing.
Super move. His super move, you hit the person and then the camera changes to a first person view of the person you're beating up.
Right.
And it will black out and then it will sort of start phasing in and you can kind of hear him in that dazed state going, oh, he's swinging for the fences! And then he will just very casually put the bat to the character's forehead and then overhead swing and knock them out that way.
Nice.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And he has his own level, which is, again, from the TV show. It's the section where he's lining up people to bash someone's head in. I won't tell you who. There's spoilers from about 10 years ago. I can't remember when that episode aired.
Cage 6 is dead.
Cage 6. It was Cage 6. He bashed his brains in. And
you identified the killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you only get the level if you buy the character, presumably?
At least so.
Yeah. Okay, so at least it gives a bit more value to the character. Isn't it?
Yeah, but it's weird as well. There's not a lot because it's a licensed character. They tend not to put a lot of customization options in the licensed characters, just the stock features, and then it's costume A, costume B, and there's not a lot more to him, which is a bit upsetting considering he's the one you have to pay £1.50 extra for over all the other characters. You'd expect you'd hope there would be more there, but they're clearly paying for the license more than anything. I'd recommend if you have the character pass, then obviously you're going to download him. That's probably the better way to go. I just feel a bit ripped off on this season compared to the last season. Was great. They were like, okay, here's Noctis from Final Fantasy. Mm. Here's Geese Howard for like all different characters from different games and brand new characters all mixed in.
Yeah.
And then this season is here are four or five characters of original characters that are missing from the game,
yeah.
And here's Negan from The Walking Dead. Yeah. It's not great when you compare it to the first season. But if you have the pass, then there you go.
Cool.
Mm. I've also played Trials Rising, but I didn't play a lot of it this week, so I'm going to talk about that more next week.
Oh, I have a very quick question about that.
Yep.
Is it a good fit for the Switch?
I think it's a brilliant fit for the Switch.
Because I want to pick that up and was umming and ahhing what platform to pick it up on.
I'm only playing it in portable handheld mode so far, so I'm not sure what it plays like on a big screen yet. I will get back to you on that, but it's a good tube game. It's my favourite mobile game.
One reservation so far about the Switch for that, though,
mm-hmm.
Isn't that a game that I would have thought would greatly benefit from analogue triggers?
It actually... Do you know what? Yeah, you are right there. There is a whole thing of being able to very casually speed up, slow down on your trigger pressure, and that's very difficult to do on a Joy-Con. So, yeah, maybe the PlayStation or the Xbox would be better for that, but apparently the PlayStation one doesn't perform as well as the Xbox version, I've heard. PC one is obviously the way to go.
Yeah, son.
If you're not really into the whole like I fall off Trials games very quickly, and this one I like because it is portable and I'm just messing around. They have made it quite easy as well, I will admit. Although I'm sure it'll get to a curve that's more like a brick wall and I'll just drive into it several times and stop playing. But the I'm finding powering through it quite fun. And the whole online aspect, when you're on the move, you can unlock loot crates that you, I don't think you can pay for separately, but you unlock them in game to get customization options. And I think this stores them. So when you've got an online connection and then you can open them up or something, it's very weird. But just first impressions, couple of hours playing on it. I'm really enjoying it so far. I'll play more and give it a more in-depth review next week.
Huzzah!
In a similar vein to you, I have been playing the first few hours of a game. I think it came out this week. I didn't hear about it coming out. I was like, oh, that's out. Okay, I'm going to purchase this. It's a game called Treasure Stack. Don't know if you remember, it was previously announced on the not Nindies Nintendo Direct for Indies. And it's a game that looked like a cross between a puzzle game and a platform game.
I have a question.
It's ringing a bell.
Yeah, and basically,
I have a very quick question.
Okay,
why haven't they called the Nindies? Why haven't they called it Nintendo Indirect?
So Treasure Stack.
Oh come on, that was good.
I'm not even sure that was bad enough to be good or good enough to be bad. I'm not even sure where that was on the scale.
That was it was just a little fun little jeu de mots.
Decidedly in the middle. Anyway, right, Treasure Stack. You play the part of a small character. It's kind of 8-bit graphic style-y, and it's a kind of small well in the middle of the screen, similar to like a Tetris well type thing that you would have in, you know, a sort of that sort of thing. I've been playing on Switch. I don't know if it's available on other platforms. I think possibly PC. But basically you are a little character at the bottom of that well, and the kind of more like columns, because they're in columns, stacks of treasure and keys and then other weaponry and other sort of blocks fall down from the top in pairs, basically. And you can, from underneath them, you can grapple up and pull them towards you to bring them down faster. And then you can arrange the stacking of those different treasure chests. So if there was like two treasure chests of different colors, I could pull it down, throw it next to me, pull the one off the top and throw that one on the other side of me, just to divide the two colors up, basically. And then you could divide other colors up to match those, match a key to the corresponding treasure chests, and it will disappear any connected treasure chests of the same color. And then you've
like
got
Frantic Tetris.
Yeah, and you've got other weaponry and stuff like a sword that will knock out a whole line in a row. You also, on a timer, have different the blocks in Tetris that don't match with anything, but you have to destroy a block next to it to destroy it. I'm not sure that it's in Tetris. I'm trying to think of a game. A
maybe a
game.
Version of Tetris.
I'm not even sure what you're on about, to be honest.
Well, basically, it's on a timer, and you can see the timer going at the side of the screen to kind of give you an idea of when that's going to be, and it also makes an audible noise just before it happens. But it will drop a line of blocks that don't match up to any of the coloured treasure chests that you can match with keys to unlock anything, and you have to make a block disappear next to it to make that block disappear. So there, it's like junk blocks that are filling the path and making it more difficult for you to make links, basically. It's something that has got a much deeper learning curve than most puzzle games, because a lot of puzzle games you get on board with the early part and you kind of get into, you know, how to do things. This has got the how to kind of manipulate the environment around you and how to navigate through that environment as well, which most puzzle games don't have. It's almost got like another added layer of difficulty that you need to kind of break through to get. And I'm at the stage now where I've got a better command of that than I have, but I've still not mastered it. So there'll be times where I get stuck at the bottom of a column and I'm not sure of the best way to get to the other side of the screen to deal with the fact that that column's filling up, and if you get any columns that fill up too much and hit the top of the screen, game over, basically. Right. So you're trying to prevent that by happening, but it's making more blocks disappear more quickly, and that's better done by arranging things and picking up. And you can pick up an entire column of blocks and move it to one side to get to the other side of it. You can also make yourself appear from the bottom of a column to the top of it as well, basically. So there's different ways to manipulate yourself around the environment and to manipulate the blocks around you as well. So it's got, like, as I said, that added difficulty curve, but it's already got its hooks in me, I think. I'm really quite enjoying it. Like, it's got that puzzle satisfaction of just one more game. Like, I could do better. And, like, it's as I said, it's quite hard at times. You can easily get stuck with just one column entirely filling up and messing your go up, even if you were doing quite well, kind of thing. But at the moment, yeah, I'm as I said, not mastered it yet, but it's really enjoyable. It's like £14 or so, I think, so £14-15. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I picked it up now, type thing. And I got this, you know, Nintendo discount thing, so I can't remember exactly how much it actually was, but it's around the £14 mark. And that's a little high, I would say, for some indie games and for a puzzle game. Like, this is literally, it's got that game, and you can play that in solo mode, you can play that online, or you can play it in local co-op, which I suggest you and I do at some point, Colm, and see if you like it. But yeah, like, it's quite simplistic in that manner, but it's very much I want another go. And you unlock, like, different characters that are they don't do anything differently. There's just a different, like, avatar type thing that's jumping around the screen, but there's some quite fun ones that there. I just unlocked a dragon and, like, a few other bits. And then you can unlock different, things that you fire up a thing to pull the stuff down. It's different grapple hooks, basically, and different items that can do that. I've got a handy grab thing and a pickaxe, and
a handy grab thing.
Like, it's just a little hand icon rather than the initial grabber thing that you get with it.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm really glad it was a very good brief overview, Tim. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, it went on a bit long.
That was brief for Tim.
But it was hard to actually describe and go through. But as I said, initial impressions are very initial impression, I was like, oh my God, have I made a mistake here? But then as I got a bit better at moving around, I'm like, oh, actually, no, this is really good and a bit different and quite good fun. So, yeah, from early, like, few hours with it, I'm recommending it just on that, basically, I think. So, yeah.
Jolly good.
Have a look, see if it scratches your puzzle itch.
Indeed. Mm. Right, Tim, are you quite done?
Yes.
Oh, good. I beat Smash Bros. Ultimate, finally.
Ooh.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went back to
mode.
Did it. Happy.
Good. Actually, looking back on the agenda, there's something that is very important that we need to take a moment to do.
Right.
A moment of silence.
Yes.
For the PlayStation Vita.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that stopped being made this week.
No longer a thing.
The last PlayStation Vita has left the assembly line. And on the same day that the PlayStation Vita games were taken off PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. So it's a shame, because I thought the Vita was criminally underused by Sony. It was a great little handheld, but just not supported in the right way.
Damn
by
should
Sony.
Know, he had about three of them in the end.
Yeah, I know, right?
Selling them, rebuying them.
Sold them all.
Yeah. I had mine. I really, really, really liked my Vita. I used to use it a lot. I spent a lot of time having to travel on the tubes and stuff. So the Vita was my Switch, you know? And then I used it up until the point I bought a Switch. And it has a big, thick layer of dust on it now.
Yeah. Yep.
And I feel
sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well,
there's still some good
done,
games
Switch.
Worth going back to it at some stage. Like,
yeah,
there are good games.
I'd happily play Jet Set Radio right now.
Jet Set Radio on the
yeah.
I mean, you can play it on other things.
I don't know, but I've got it on there.
Yeah, unfortunately, like all the games that I played on the Vita and that got the hooks into me, I played them to death and I'm good, you know? I'm okay to move on. Now I've got a Switch.
It's,
I've
not,
got
like, it's not like there's going to be new indie titles on there. I wish that what Sony would do is go, do you know what? It's end of life now. We've opened the keys. We've unlocked the firmware. Do what you want with it. That would be awesome, but they're never going to do
they
that.
They won't.
Anyway, we need to finish the show. We do.
Oh, we could do another hour.
But keep on rolling. But not before, at the risk of making it actually take another hour. Tim, Tuesday is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tell us about the Tuesday.
Is indeed
a brief
a Tuesday.
Overview of Tabletop
a
Tuesday.
Brief over...
Tabletop Tuesday.
Well,
it
let
all
me
began
take
approximately
you back.
4 million years ago when the solar system first came into being. One rock hit another rock, and then another rock hit that rock, and then a little bit after that, another rock hit that. And then there was more rocks that hit more rocks. And
we need to hurry up and finish the show. Now, let me really tell a really long and elaborate story to take the mic.
Yeah.
Carry on,
good,
Tim.
Good going quick, Dan.
Well done. I had an onion on my shoulder, was the fashion, and said, give me 10 bees.
For anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. And each and every week we have a different feature game, usually a board or a card game. And if you play that game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. This week's game is one I am glad to add just because it's the only version of a very popular game that we don't have currently in the bar. And ooh, that is the latest version of Timeline, which is the Science Museum edition of Timeline.
I like the Star Wars ones.
I am very slightly confused by, considering there was already some scientific ones, and I really want to see exactly what they've done with that, and I'm interested. But I really like Timeline. It goes down really well in the bar. It's a real easy one to teach. It's a good one to play in the bar, and you can play it with like almost an endless number of people as well. So yeah, it's a good one. So yeah, that's going to be our game for the week. Should be an easy one to come along and play. On the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, there are more details if you need them. And yeah, you'll find usually a list of the games that are available to play, as well as a little video on teaching you how to play this week's game.
What if for some reason I can't get onto BigRedBarrel.com?
If you can't get onto BigRedBarrel for server-related problems, if you can't get onto BigRedBarrel, then, or if you need to find your information elsewhere, you could also search for Tabletop Tuesday on
meetup.com,
where you could search for Tabletop Tuesdays and join the 1,700 people at plus that have joined us there, and come along and join us at the Loading Bar in Dalston on a Tuesday.
Meetup Drop, well, splendid. Tim's new indie game coming to the Switch.
Yeah. But it's also on a Friday in April, there will be an EGX Res live podcast as well. So that's
coming.
Something else to look forward to.
And it has been announced today on the lineup for the Fringe Theatre stuff and stuff at Res.
Are on Eurogamer.
Yeah, you can check out the whole lineup, us and everyone else. I don't know if you noticed, but we are actually following the Eurogamer podcast. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
So when they go, all right, guys, we're done. We're off to the pub.
Yeah,
and and also Big Red Bowers.
It's all right. We'll look up, guys. Don't worry.
Cheers, guys. Cheers, guys. Yeah, I'm cacking it. I'm actually starting to brick it a bit.
Cool.
Yeah. I look forward to that.
I'm genuinely not thinking about it other than like coming up with the prizes. Or we had to come up with the things we were talking about as well. So we have detailed that, and we'll talk about that more next week possibly. But yeah.
Done good.
Camel balls.
Camel
right.
balls.
There I think 200 all that's left balls. Is to just say thank you to a couple of people. First of all, from the Facebooks, I'd like to say thank you to Freya Goddard.
Yay.
And from Twitters, I'd like to thank Nelly and Ian Alexander Crane.
That's very generous of you to take the third of the three names, well, which the third host
Coleman,
could have read out.
Coleman,
but never mind. Good work,
sorry.
Tim.
Com's good.
Yeah, big thanks to Ian, who decided to share with us some Soldier Boy information. Oh. Soldier Boy updates.
Oh. Soldier Boy update.
Yeah, which are
why
on
is that not in the news?
This should be a
Twitter.
Segment. Permanent
Has he
segment
done the same
on the show?
Thing again?
I believe he's done an interview where he detailed why he ended up in hot trouble with why all the Nintendo stuff disappeared.
If he said anything because I'm a blithering idiot,
maybe.
then yes, he's on the money. Anything else? Not sure.
He said,
what did he say? Yeah?
Yeah. That was my impression of Soldier Boy.
Excellent.
That was
I only know the one song.
That was good.
Yeah. Superman. yes. Thank you to those that did Twitters and Facebooks and that. And if you've enjoyed the show, why not go and do that yourself? Find us on facebook.com/bigredbarrel, twitter.com/bigredbarrel. Other social media sites are available. Bigredbarrel.com, the site itself, that is the thing you should be checking out. And also, you could go on to iTunes and give us a lovely review. Our favorite flavor is 5 stars. But if you don't want to do any of that, and you do enjoy the podcast, you want to help out in some way, how about you just go tell a friend about mm-hmm. this awesome video games podcast where mm-hmm. three blithering idiots talk over each other, and then
morning.
A man tirelessly edits it overnight to get it out for the next day.
Yes.
Disso Nintendo man. Controllers with some urgent game news tomorrow morning.
Yeah. BRB UK, tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Even if they won't listen, tell them.
Or at least tell a friend.
I'm stealing the tagline from Vidiots now they don't exist anymore.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's steal that from them then. But thanks.
They're called Triple Blended. Jump now. Anyway, check out Triple Jump.
Okay. Yeah. Triple Jump. Give them a plug as cool. we're stealing from them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Very good.
Good.
Alrighty. Well, I think we should probably go.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
We should probably go.
We should probably stop this nonsense.
I think we should as well. Why? Because reasons.
I thought we'd literally just stop it.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah, why not? That's it. Stop. End the podcast.
Later.
Forever.
Screw you guys. Anywho. We are going to disappear now. So thank you ever so much for listening. Do all the things that Coleman told you to do. And, I think all that remains is just to say that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been mm-hmm. Coleman.
Happy Coleman, did you just say?
I've been Coleman.
You've been Coleman. Very good.
Happy Coleman.
Happy Coleman. Coleman happy. Happy Coleman.
Tell friends, make Coleman happy.
Anyway, we're going to go now. Toodaloo, thank you very much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.